Hello, friends, and welcome to the Diary of an Arcade Employee podcast. I'm your host, Vic Sage, and since this is the month of October, and Halloween is just a few days away, I've accepted a tip from my co-host on the Saturday Frights podcast, The Projectionist, about doing a live recording here in the town of Spirit Bay at the old Graves Mansion. Hopefully, the recording equipment that the techs at the Retros Vault whipped up is working properly. Boy, the Graves Mansion is certainly one spooky-looking place. No electricity, and it's mostly boarded up. It hasn't been in use for years, not since Old Man Graves passed away back in 1982. Glad I had my flashlight with me and a box of matches. You know, just in case. Looks like I made it here just in time. Sounds like we have a pretty big storm heading our way, friends. Yikes! That was too close. Let's get inside. The projectionist gave me a master key he claimed would fit the door. Huh. That's interesting. Looks like some kids spray-painted messages here on the porch. Beware the tarantulas. Huh. Here's another one. The vampire bats really suck. You would think the realtors would clean this up, right? Oh, what does this one say? Is the magic urn worth being scared to death? Wow, this one by the door looks really old. Having a bit of a hard time making it out. The spirit of Old Man Graves does not forgive nor forget. Beware his touch. Well, with these types of warnings, it's not that shocking that the people of Spirit Bay have come to simply call this mansion the Haunted House. Friends, I hope you'll forgive the little radio drama there. Just seemed like a bit of fun we could have with it being the end of October and such. This is a special episode of the Diary of an Arcade Employee podcast, as we won't be discussing an actual arcade game this go-around, but the classic 1982 game for the Atari 2600 entitled Haunted House. I had originally intended to talk about the arcade game Satan's Hollow, but since we were publishing this just a few days after Atari Day, it seemed a better choice. And it's always fun to talk about the Atari 2600, right? Especially when it's a great and groundbreaking game like Haunted House. Now, as I played around with in the intro for this episode, the player is indeed tasked with entering the Graves Mansion to locate the three pieces of a magical urn. Here's the intro from the game's instruction manual. Many years ago, in the small town of Spirit Bay, there lived a mean old man named Zachary Graves. Old Man Graves was not a very well-liked person. He rarely left the old mansion and spent most of his life brooding about the decaying four-story house. When he died, the house was condemned and locked up. The townspeople claimed that Old Man Graves knew the whereabouts of a magic urn that was a family heirloom of the first family of Spirit Bay. It seems that the mansion was the family's first home, and that the magic urn, which broke into several pieces during the earthquake of 1890, is still in the old house. To this day, no one has had the courage to go into the mansion to search for the pieces of the urn. It is common knowledge that the ghost of Old Man Graves still haunts the mansion. Some of the neighbors claim to have seen lights flickering in the windows. Some say that they have heard eerie sounds, doors slamming, and heavy footsteps. Some even claim to have seen shadows running through the mansion. The mysterious mansion has 24 rooms connected by long corridors and staircases. Some of the rooms have been locked up for over 50 years. There is supposed to be a master key hidden somewhere in the mansion. Without the key, it might be impossible to travel from room to room. There is also an ancient scepter hidden in the mansion. Old Man Graves always carried this scepter. He believed it scared off evil spirits. Now that you know the story, Atari is unlocking the entrance to the haunted house and letting you test your bravery. Do you dare enter the frightening old mansion? If you do, remember to carry matches. The haunted house is very dark. Atari released Haunted House back in 1982, and it was designed by James Andreasen, who in the year later designed the Atari 5200's popular Real Sports baseball title. After that, I'm afraid I haven't found any more game work by James, but I did learn that Haunted House was originally titled Nightmare Manor. Haunted House is played with a joystick, allowing the player to move up and down, left and right. The player is displayed on the screen merely as a set of eyes, since there's no light in the mansion. Thankfully, you do have unlimited matches to cast a cheerful circular glow about you. By pressing the fire button on the joystick, you will light one. But the bad news is, your score at the end of the game will be affected by how many of those you use. If a creature comes into the room, your match will be snuffed out, but at least the intruder is clearly visible in the dark. You will also have your match blown out when the wind blows through the drafty haunted house. Nothing can be done about that. You can keep track of how many matches you've used by looking at the number in the bottom left hand of the screen. Your number of remaining lives are displayed on the bottom right hand side. You must also use a match to locate a piece of the urn to pick it up. The player receives 9 lives per game in an attempt to collect the 3 scattered pieces of the urn in the Graves Mansion and escape out of the main entrance on the first floor. If the player comes into contact with one of the creatures or feels the spectral touch of the ghost of Zachary Graves, they are scared to death and lose 1 life. Thankfully, there is the scepter hidden in the house, which you can hold, which will render you invisible to the threats and prevent you from being scared to death when you come in contact with one. Hey, there is a reason why Old Man Graves kept it near him when he was living, right? Of course, the rub with carrying the scepter is that you can only hold 1 object at a time. You have a piece of the urn and need that scepter? You will place the urn piece or pieces down to pick up the new object, so you will have to remember where you left it. There are multiple floors to the haunted house, and the player can ascend and descend staircases to reach the higher and lower levels. You can keep track on which level of the house you are currently on, thanks to the number displayed just above the spent matches count. Each floor of the house is also color-coded. Obviously, this is very important, as I just mentioned, with remembering where you placed the urn piece or pieces you've collected. You can easily tell which way a staircase leads. If it heads down, you will see large steps decreasing in size. And stairways leading up, of course, start with small steps increasing in size. On higher difficulty levels of Haunted House, the player must also locate the master key to help you unlock doors. Remember, of course, you can only carry 1 object at a time. So, I think you can see how things can get complicated very quickly. Like most Atari games of the time, the player could use the Game Select switch on the console to choose game variations, allowing a player to change up the difficulty and rules of the game. So, with Game 1, it's the beginning level. It includes lighted walls to help you see the rooms. There are no doors, so no key is required, but you do need to light matches to see objects. You'll confront 3 creatures, 1 bat, 1 tarantula, and 1 ghost who, of course, will try to scare you to death. In Game 2, the mansion is all dark, and there are unlocked doors. As in Game 1, there are 3 creatures on this level. Game 3 is like Game 2, except that some doors are locked, and you'll have to find the master key in the first room you enter. Game 4 is the same as Game 3, except that the master key is in a different location each time the game is played. In Game 5, everything is the same as Game 4, but there are 2 additional tarantulas now chasing you. In Game 6, all 5 creatures can chase you from room to room. Only the ghost, though, can pass through a locked door. In Game 7, if you are touched by the bat, any object you are holding will be dropped and moved to another room in the mansion. Of course, you'll also lose 1 of your lives. Game 8 is similar to Game 7, but you'll find that all the creatures are now moving a little bit faster, and the ghost is not affected by the scepter. With Game 9, this is the ultimate test of the Haunted House Challenge. Game 9 has the same gameplay as Game 8, but this time, the floor plan is different, and you'll find yourself in a completely different maze of rooms. For an added element of surprise, all five creatures can chase you from room to room, even through the locked doors. And what about those creatures that lurk through the haunted mansion? We have the tarantulas, who look like they should. They are slower than the vampire bats, but of course, if come in contact with them, you will lose a life. Unless you have the scepter, that is. The vampire bats should look familiar to anyone who's played Atari's Adventure. They fly around the mansion, and of course, if you touch them without the scepter, you lose a life. The ghost of Zachary Graves is very fast, and worse, it can give chase, moving through walls and even locked doors. You don't have to worry about him if you have the scepter, but like I've already said, that is only true on game settings 1 through 7. Another important aspect of Haunted House is the sound effects used in the game. Being in the dark means that what you hear is a little more enjoyable. You know, since this is one of the first horror game titles, you can hear your footsteps as you walk about, hear yourself bumping into walls and locked doors. You can also hear those doors opening and closing, as well as see and hear the thunder and lightning, all of it helping to pull you into the game. And of course, you are treated to a bit of a very familiar TV theme song when you win the game. Wondering how you tally up your score at the end of Haunted House. That cannot be any easier. How many matches did you use? How many lives do you have remaining after being scared to death? It's all there on display for you at the end of the game. So your goal is to die and use less matches in your next game. That's it. You do not receive points like in other games, which I think is actually just fine because after all, the whole goal is to find the magical urn and escape the Graves Mansion, right?
Arcadia will be right back after these messages.
I've been hearing the so-called sports expert talk about his realistic home video baseball game. Well, I've played real baseball. And I also played the new Atari Real Sports Baseball, and I like it. Because I can sacrifice fly, as well as steal, pick off runners. Hey, it's baseball like baseball should be played. And who are you going to listen to anyhow? That other guy who just talks baseball? Or a nice guy like me, who lives it.
New Real Sports Baseball, one in a series only from Atari.
Ah, that's me, taking my third curtain call at the Alhambra Bradford. Sit! They loved me.
Oh, sorry, I thought this was the party.
This is the party!
Oh.
Right! Who's for Atari? What's more, it's my party.
Music hall's dead, sunshine. Pac-Man, Missile Command, Super Breakout, that's where the action is. All linked up, young man?
Just a moment. Right, anyone for Haunted House?
You have to be fast on your feet for this, Ernie.
Oh, don't say that. I want to show you who's tap dancing next.
Atari, simply more fun and games.
Haunted House has had a few hacks released by the homebrew community. Two notable titles are Evil Dead, by Kyle Pittman in 2003, which changes the enemy and object sprites to fit in with the Evil Dead films. So the urn becomes the Necronomicon, and the enemies include Ash's possessed severed hand. There is also the hack entitled The Blair Witch Project, by Tim Snyder, which came out in 2000, which changes the enemy and object sprites to fit in with that film. Haunted House also received an unofficial sequel called Return to Haunted House, and was made available on the second version of the Atari Flashback systems. In 2010, it was released to the Microsoft Game Room, and was included in the iOS package entitled Atari's Greatest Hits. Also in that year, the game received an official sequel for Windows, the Wii, and Xbox Live Arcade. It of course featured updated graphics, and took place 30 years after the player you controlled in the Atari 2600 game vanished inside the mansion. In 2014, Haunted House: Cryptic Graves was released and presented a more mature survival horror storyline. It was also presented in first person, which means that I couldn't play because I easily fall victim to motion sickness. Now, for myself, I originally received the Haunted House cartridge on my 10th birthday. I really enjoyed it, but I'm ashamed to admit that wasn't the game I was expecting. So, after playing it for a couple of hours, I was able to talk my father into taking me to our local Walmart, and I traded it in for Berserk. I won't lie, I felt very bad about my behavior since it was a gift from my grandmother. While I know she figured out what I had done, I still used some of my hard-earned money that summer to pick up the game at a garage sale. Haunted House is one of the many titles available for players who want to enjoy the Atari 2600 at the Arcadia Retrocade. And there have been more than a few times that I've had the pleasure of sitting on that old orange couch and showing players how to play the game. Well, I think that about wraps up our podcast for this go-around. If you are a fan of all things Atari, you owe it to yourself to join in on the celebration every 26th of the month with Atari Day. What do you do to join the celebration? It's simple. On the 26th of the month, wear something Atari-related, or share your memories of Atari with a friend, or even better, invite a friend to play a game with you. This was brought about by the awesome folks over at the Atari.io forums. I'll be sure to include a link on this podcast post, but you can find the site by simply visiting www.atari.io. Normally, I would ask you to tune in on Wednesdays for the Diary of an Arcade Employee vidcast on YouNow or Periscope. But the last few weeks, I've experienced broadcasting issues with that app, so from now on, I will record my shift at the Arcadia Retrocade, edit it, and then upload it on the Retroist. I apologize about the lack of a live feed, but I promise you still will get to enjoy the sights and sounds of a fully thriving arcade as always. Our ending theme, which is entitled River Raid, was composed by the extremely talented Tony Longworth. You also got to hear a little clip of his theme, Twisted Toys. You can listen to even more of his music on SoundCloud and on his official site, which you can reach at www.tonylongworth.com. If you have any feedback for the show or perhaps a suggestion for a game to cover, you can reach me at vicsage@retroist.com. Diary of an Arcade Employee is now available for download on iTunes, so if you have a moment, I would really appreciate it if you could stop by there and give us a positive review. It certainly helps to get the word out to new listeners. For further information about the Arcadia Retrocade, please make sure to follow them over on their Facebook page. I will be sure to provide a link on the Retroist post. Of course, I want to give a huge thanks to the Retroist for not just hosting this podcast, but for allowing me to record in the Retroist vault. And when you need your daily retro fix, why not visit the Retroist site at www.retroist.com. Have a token on me as we listen to a clip for the game I will discuss on the next show. This has been a Retroist production. Goodbye, and we hope to see you next time.